First, though, let's go to the deepening scandal in the City of London, where three Barclays executives have now quit the bank over the rigging of key interest rates. Shortly after the bank's chief executive, Bob Dimond, resigned, so too did the bank's chief operating officer, Jerry Delmissier. That means the chairman, the CEO and the CFO have now all stepped down. The scandal, which may implicate other international banks and trigger criminal prosecutions, revolves around the manipulation of the LIBOR interbank lending rate. The bank's been fined £290 million already, and the government has launched a parliamentary inquiry. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is director of Seven Investment Management. He joins us from London. Justin, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Pleasure, Fran. Good morning.
Justin, how damaging is this scandal to Barclays Bank and the reputation of banking in London?
Oh, it is sorely damaging, very damaging indeed for Barclays, but also for the two words on which actually London banking and financial services depend, integrity and confidence. And when you go to this is not just a mis-selling scandal. This is banks, and not just Barclays, it's going to be a range of banks, more of these to come out, rigging the rates, actually rigging the rates for their own benefit. And this scandal could go further in terms of who else was involved, was the regulator, and even some talk that potentially even the Bank of England might be connected as well. So I'm afraid all of this has got a lot more to tell. It's going to be a real soap opera.
I must say, I struggle to really understand what the alleged fix was. Can you explain to us simply how the interbank lending rate was being fixed, how the LIBOR was being fixed? What exactly was the bank doing?
Well, the LIBOR rate, it is delightfully archaic, typically old-fashioned, stupid bit of British operations, because basically what you did was to establish LIBOR, you rang round between 8 and 16 different bankers and phoned up to ask what your rate is today. And they would come up with a rate, and then you take an average of those, and blow me, there's your rate for the day for, is it a one-month rate, 3 months, 6 months, whatever it happens to be. And, of course, this is always open to abuse, and I remember writing about this about 10 years ago, saying it's fine when you've got people responsible. But when you've got a bunch of SPIDs running it and then a management who don't understand what the SPIDs are doing, then you've got a recipe for real disaster. And this ripples out because when you are borrowing as a company or even as an individual, it may be X percent over LIBOR, over this base rate. And so, therefore, if they're fixing that rate up or down, therefore, you're not getting actually what the market is actually should really be at. So that's what the abuse is.
Where would the fix be in? Fixing it higher than it should be or lower than it should be? And how does that affect profit?
Well, potentially both. It could actually be higher, in which case what they're trying to say then is that maybe they've actually got extra money they actually want to put on deposit, so they've actually got, demanding a higher interest rate, or they actually might want lower interest rates, in which case maybe they're trying to show that actually they don't need to pay so much money because they're very confident of the bank, and therefore they're secure. And that may be the cause of this, because during the banking problems of a couple of years ago, what you actually saw, therefore, were banks trying to show, actually, we're okay, we're fine, even though they were in serious financial difficulties. So they're almost trying to show off by trying to actually show these rates were so low, when of course actually that wasn't the case.
Okay, so the rip-off in that sense would be giving a false sense of integrity about the state of the bank and the health of the bank.
Precisely so.
What about who ends up at the end of this train being ripped off by this? Other banks or customers of Barclays or customers around the world?
Well, customers around the world, because potentially if you were then buying something, had a particular loan which was at X percent over LIBOR, and LIBOR had been set in that particular case higher than it should have been, then you're paying too much money. Now, you could, of course, also say the other way around, maybe you're paying too little. The fact is, we don't know as yet, and so this is what's going to be interesting, and particularly in America, where they're already considering criminal actions and taking actions, and we know what the Americans are like, they are somewhat litigious, to say the least. And so large actions, not against, just against Barclays, but the other banks involved as well, who as yet haven't been named. Tomorrow we actually see the now ex-chief executive, Bob Dimond, appearing in front of a Treasury Select Committee in the House of Parliament, and he's going to be grilled. And one of the reasons he may have stood down today was that he could actually now actually start talking out of office, as it were, not in post, and therefore being able to possibly come up with things he couldn't have said as chief executive of Barclays. So, as I said, this is an astonishing soap opera. You really couldn't make it up.
Well, already there's evidence being put by Barclays, apparently, that the CEO, Bob Dimond, received a call from the deputy governor of the Bank of England in 2008 suggesting that Barclays' LIBOR submission did not always need to be as high as it was. Is the implication there that the Bank of England was onto Barclays or putting pressure on them to lower it?
But the implication is that the Bank of England might have been interfering, and didn't use that word very carefully, because would it be telling them to do things? We just don't know. This was leaked out a few hours ago, presumably by Barclays, and then it was actually formally issued by Barclays, and I suspect on the basis that it'll give an opportunity for Bob Darman to be able to say in front of the Parliamentary Committee, well, actually, this is what was going on here. It wasn't me. This was actually the Bank of England getting involved. Now, it's going to take an awful lot of proving as to what's going on here. We're back to old emails and interpretation of those emails, but there's even connection from the Bank of England to senior people in Whitehall, for which one can normally read members of the government. So maybe it goes back to the old Labour government as well. Good heavens, this just goes on and on.
And Justin, Bob Darman will leave, what they say, with a payout of at least £20 million, so that's, you don't need to feel too sorry for him, I guess. But what about other British banks? Are they also going to be accused of manipulating LIBOR? And banks in America and in Europe, are they being accused of the same thing?
Well, not as yet. Rather strangely, Barclays were actually the whistleblowers in this case. They're the ones who put their hands up and said this has been going on. We were been aware of something like this around for the past 2 years. And obviously the net was beginning to close because they put their hands up first. Now, none of the others have as yet. And they're not just British banks, but continental banks, American banks as well. So it'll be interesting to see quite how far this goes. But the Americans take this much more seriously. White-collar crime there, they send in the police, send in the handcuffs, and quite rightly, because if a crime has been committed, then you should treat them like this. Here, we're far too polite about these things, and we need to get tighter, and I think that's going to be the case.
Just finally, I was going to ask you, do you think the rest of Barclays' board should resign? Does Barclays need a whole new board?
Well, I think Barclays is going to change. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Barclays splits up into the old Barclays you had before, which was a commercial bank and an investment bank. My view's always been is you don't merge the two. They're two very different cultures. The investment banks take greater risks and primarily service themselves. And commercial banks service their clients, not always very well, but they are generally a service bank. Mix the two together, and it's a bit like stirring up some nitre and glycerine. That's why the Americans in the 1930s passed an act, the Glass-Steagall Act, to actually stop the banks doing this. And when it got repealed back in the 90s, what the banks do, they started doing it again.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart, thanks so much for joining us and explaining that on Breakfast.
Thanks, Brian.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart, Director of Seven Investment Management in London.